Turn to the book of Genesis, to chapter 19. Chapter 19, and I want to read simply one verse, verse 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. These little words, escape for thy life. Escape for thy life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know every heart that's here. I pray that you would touch each and every one of us, draw us closer to your will. I ask if anyone here is lost, that you would convict them of their sin and bring them to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I pray for every child of God that you'd make us wise. May we make good decisions. May we put the spiritual ahead of the physical. Lord, may we put you first in our lives. Lord, have your way in this church. And I'd ask you to give me the freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You got your Bible still there. If you look at the chapter before, chapter 18, there's an interesting story here. Very, very famous story. Everybody knows it. God has been dealing with Abraham. And he's promised him a son. And Sarah, who's 90 years old, laughs. Am I going to get pregnant at 90 years old? And the Lord says, is there anything too hard for the Lord in verse 14? And it's a tremendous message there. But then just as soon as he gets through promising this blessing, it says in verse 16, and the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. And then God discusses with his angels what he's going to do. Should I let Abraham know what I'm going to do? Well, look what it says about Abraham. If you're a man here, if you're a father or a grandfather, wouldn't it be wonderful this could be said of you? Verse 19. For I know him, he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Man, what a testimony to a father. What a testimony to a grandfather. I know him. He's going to command his children and his household after him. They're going to walk in the way of the Lord. They're going to keep the way of the Lord. And he says in verse 20, here's the judgment. The Lord said, behold, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is grievous, I'm going to go down now and see what they've done altogether according to the cry of it. Did you ever think that sometimes the things you do cause a cry? They do. In fact, the Bible tells us that the blood of Abel cried from the ground. Sodom and Gomorrah is a wicked place. Now, you can follow the modern thing and say that homosexuality is just another alternate lifestyle. I don't believe it. Amen. It's a sin. It's a perversion. It's not just another lifestyle. It's a sinful lifestyle. And God Almighty judged it here, and he judges it throughout the Bible, and it's been judged through most of the years of our generation. It's not normal. It's not natural. It has to be learned. You weren't born that way. Amen. It's sin, and you make choices. He said, I look down there, and there's a cry coming out of that city. These were homosexual cities, sodomite cities. And God said, there's a cry going out from there. You know what? That's a very painful thing. All the sin and all the abuse that's going on around the world today, it causes pain. It causes hurt. It causes damage. It's an ugly thing. And God says, I despise it. I'm going to go down there and look at it. And if it's what I think it is, it's what it's said to be, I'm going to destroy these cities. Now we have the greatest example of intercessory prayer in the Bible right here. I would preach, I'm just going to mention it just so you see it. You ought to read it. At the last part of this, Abraham says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Shall not the judge? I take that as a statement of faith. The judge of all the earth is going to do right. Amen. It may not look right to me. I may not think it's right. It may not seem right, but it is right. The judge of all the earth is going to do right. And so then he begins to plead with God. He said, you know, would you destroy all these cities if there were 50 righteous? Would you save the cities for 50 righteous? God said, yes. I'd save them for 50 righteous. Now I want you to think for a minute what that tells you. Just what does this tell you? God says, I'm going to destroy these cities. And Abraham said, but Lord, if you could find 50 righteous, would you spare the cities? I'd spare them. He said, well, would you destroy them for lack of five? I mean, what if it just missed 50 by five? For 45? He said, for 45. 40, 30, 20, 10. And then he stops. He didn't go far enough. Because, see, he thought old Lot had won somebody. He thought Lot even had his children. You know, most of the children, his Lot had, that'd be 10. Lot didn't just have two daughters. Lot had a family. Lot lost a lot of family in Sodom. And Abraham ceases to pray. But what it ought to tell you, you can pray and God will answer your prayer. He didn't just answer Abraham's prayer because Abraham was Abraham. He answers prayer. God answers prayer. I can take you back to a king in the Old Testament, a very wicked king brought up in one of our meetings the other night, Ahab. He gets in sackcloth and ashes and God saves him for 3 years. Manasseh, another wicked, wicked, wicked king, called off into a dungeon. There he repents and God restores him to his throne.
Amen.
And if God would hear these men and God hears Abraham, why don't you pray? You got your troubles, you ought to get down and pray. You think, well, my prayer doesn't mean anything. Well, man, I've seen one answer this morning. I prayed a half-hearted prayer and said, well, I don't even know whether I should have prayed it, Lord. And he answered it this morning. I guess I should have prayed it. If God would do and deal with Abraham as he did, right? You ought to read the 18th chapter of Genesis. You really ought to read the 18th chapter of Genesis because it's one of the great examples of how you could pray and God could hear you. And God would. But at any rate, he prayed, if I can find 10 righteous in the city, I will not destroy the cities. I'll save the whole cities. You know what I happen to think? I happen to think that's the principle and the reason why America is still alive today.
Friday.
The principle of the 10 righteous within the city. I believe there's still the gospel going out, still missionaries being sent out, still some of this corrupt money is still going into the work of God, and there's just a remnant in the country saving the whole nation. It would have saved Sodom and Gomorrah. But they leave Abraham. Abraham goes back. He's content. He's got it down. I mean, he got Lot, his wife, and his sons, and his daughters, his son-in-laws, his grandchildren. Surely, surely, somebody like Lot, and I'm going to read a verse in a minute to prove to you I'm right, somebody like Lot ought to have won somebody in Sodom. Surely there's 10 righteous in the city. God sends two angels down, messengers. They weren't going through walking with wings on their back, I want you to know. There are no wings on the back of any angels in the Bible. No. That's artist representations. They want you to know which one's the angel in the picture. That's where the wings come from. Angels don't have wings in the Bible. These angels, by the way, they're men also. All angels in the Bible are men. Sorry, ladies. Every angel in the Bible is a man. These men go walking into the gates of Sodom. And who's sitting there? Why? Mayor Lot. He has moved himself up to sit in the gate. He's a judge among these people. He's one of the heads of the city. Now, Abraham gave him a choice a long time ago. Said, go at you wherever you want to go. Yeah, but you're the elder. You've got the right. Yeah, I've got the right, but I'll give you the choice. I've got the right to give you the choice. And Lot said, well, I want all that good green stuff down there around Sodom. Sure look good. Yeah, but that's a wicked city. He knew it was a wicked city before he went down there. Yeah, but look at all the money can be made down there. Look how your cattle can get fat down there. My, that's a rich and beautiful place. You better watch how you make your choices.
Amen.
About your job, about your town, about your wife, about what you got your kids in, about what you promote. You just may be choosing from a completely wrong perspective, and that's what Lot did. A long time ago. Lot chose Sodom. He moved down there close to it for the beautiful country and the green grass and the fat cattle that he's going to have. But we find him here. He's not outside in a tent like Abraham. He's inside the city judging in the gate. He moved in. He became a part. He took part in his community. He didn't stand off from it. He didn't separate from it. He got in with that wicked, wicked mess. And he got in there for money. What we'd say money today. He got in there for wealth, good times, things supposed to be good. Well, two men come walking in. He said, well, hey, fellas, come on in. I invite you into my house. And they said, no, we're going to wander the streets tonight. No. You don't want to wander the streets in Sodom. You don't want to wander the streets in Sodom. Come on into my house. So he brings them in, and the Bible says he made him a feast. Man, he got the cooks together, and they killed the fatted calf, and they had a big feast. And while they're having the feast, the men of Sodom, this bunch of sodomites, queers, homosexuals, gathered outside his house and said, bring those men out. And Lot goes out to them. And he said, don't do so wickedly. These men have come under my roof. And they said, well, we'll just do you even worse. And so they went after him, and the angels pulled him inside the building and blinded everybody outside. Now, once they got him in, they said, we want you to understand, we're messengers of God. We came here to destroy this place. Go get yours. We're going to give you a chance. Go get your people out. You've got sons here, daughters here, son-in-laws here. Go get them out. And Lot did. He went out to his daughters' houses where his son-in-laws were. And he told them, I got two angels in my house. They come down here to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They're going to wipe it out. Now come with me and we can escape. And it says, he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. I want to ask you, my dear Christian friend, my dear born-again child of God on the road to heaven, do you have any influence over anybody? Do you? You ought to.
Amen.
You know, it's a real tragedy. I think the story of Lot is so tragic in several ways. Lot should have stayed with Abraham. He should have given up. No, Abraham, all the cattle's yours. All the places. I just want to be around you. You get a place of blessing, you better stay by the place
Amen.
Of blessing.
Amen.
Abraham was the place of blessing. That was where God was going to bless.
Yep.
Lot was blessed because he was with Abraham. Oh, yeah, but I can do it on my own. I don't need old Abe. And he went on down there, and he's doing real well in Sodom, isn't he? Oh, man, he'd make him mayor of the town, governor, judge, sitting in the gate, judging things. Why, man, he's moved up. He's got a house inside. He's not out in the tent like Abraham anymore. Lot was probably thinking pretty well of himself and his choices, and his daughters had married well. Probably happy with his son-in-laws. And he went to them, and they didn't believe a word he said. What are you doing, old man? You off a little bit? Something wrong? Angels in your house? Destruction going to come on this beautiful city? Tonight? Tonight? Oh, come on. You're making fun of us. You're trying to fool us. He didn't have one ounce of influence. That's where some of you are. You don't have an ounce of influence on your family at all. They don't believe you because you don't live a consistent life. What's wrong with Lot? He's compromised too much. What's wrong with Lot? He's moved into Sodom. He's become a part of Sodom. He's become a judge of Sodom. Oh, you'd think he's going up in the world. No. He was going down. He was going down, not up. And we come to my text there. Verse 14, the last sentence says, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Birds of a feather flock together. I want you to know there are people in jail right now, in prison right now, because they were in the wrong car with the wrong group. They didn't do it, they didn't plan on doing it, but their friends were doing it, and they were with their friends, and they're going to go where they went. Let me tell you what happened to old Lot. He got into the wrong place, the wrong town, and he didn't get up and move. The minute he knew what was in that city, he should have picked up his daughters and his sons. I don't care if they scratched and clawed and screamed the whole way and moved. Some of you ought to get up and get out of wherever you are right now.
Amen.
I don't know all your lives. I don't know where you are. Some of you in the wrong job. You know, well, if I lose this job, we'll lose your house then.
Amen.
Lose your car then. Get out of a job that's going to take you out of the will of God.
Amen.
Man, I was looking for a job when I found this one. And I'll be looking for a job the next time I need one. Oh, it's not easy. But there's some things more important.
That's right.
Ask old Lot about 10 years later what's important.
Amen.
Not when he's moving down there in his heyday feeling I'm as good as Abraham and God's blessed me like he's blessed Abraham and I'm rich and I'm increased with goods and I'm going to move in the city and I'm going to rise in politics in the city and I'm going to be somebody. Ask him 10 years later about his choices. When his wife's dead, his sons are dead, his daughters are dead, his son-in-laws are dead, his grandchildren are dead, and he's got 2 daughters with him in a cave. Ask him then. He's hesitating. Well, of course, he's got too much tied up in Sodom. Man, they got houses bought. They got businesses going. He's got grandchildren going to school. He's got a lot tied up in Sodom. But he went out to his son-in-laws with the Word of God, with the urgent message of the Word of God, and they didn't pay him any mind. Is that what your word is? You ought to live a life consistent enough that somebody would believe what you say. Amen. Isn't it a shame? This is a tragedy.
Amen.
But it's a tragedy repeated over and over and over again in our society right today.
Amen.
Parents who do not demand respect don't get it.
Amen.
Christians who do not live a consistent life do not get respect from this world.
Amen.
Oh, they might tell you, be one of us. Be like us and they'll despise you to your face. The angels have to take him and his wife by their hands and his 2 daughters by their hands and drag them out of the city. And they do. For Abraham. They didn't do it for Lot. They didn't do it for Lot's testimony. They didn't do it for Lot's life and lifestyle. They did it because of Abraham. He didn't find the 10 righteous in the city, and the city was not saved, but they drug Lot and his wife and his 2 daughters out. But his wife, maybe he went to Sodom to please his wife, I don't know. A lot of men make stupid decisions to please somebody else.
Yeah.
Wife or kid. His wife, she had too much tied up there. He said, don't you look back. She looked back. She died. He gets out. Now what the angel said to him was my text. Verse 17, it came to pass when they brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. I mean, what he was talking about, what these angels were talking about was life and death. They weren't talking about how much money you're going to make or whether you're going to have a big profit or a low profit or whether you're going to lose this or lose. They're talking about your life. They're talking about whether you're going to live or die. Escape for thy life. Why? Was it dangerous for Lot? If Lot stayed in the city, Lot would have died with the rest of them.
Amen.
If Lot's daughters had stayed in the city, they'd have died with the rest of them. Yes, it was important. It was a very important message. Escape for thy life. How important is that to you? Now, you can sit around, as long as it's Brother Dale down there with cancer, supposed to die pretty soon, you can say, well, you know, not a big deal. But when it's you dying of cancer,
Amen.
Makes a little more difference to you.
Amen.
You pray different, I want you to know. Yeah, it touches me when a good friend of mine gets hurt. It touches me when some neighbor gets hurt. It touches me when I see a wreck on the expressway. But when it's my car or my kid or my house that's wrecked or burned, it makes a whole lot of difference. Whole lot of difference. Escape for thy life. Run. Free yourself. Deliver yourself. That's what he's saying. The angels tell him, escape for thy life. There's danger in the city. You cannot stay where you are. You have to get up and get out. Interesting verse in the New Testament. It's based on this. Look, if you will, at Luke chapter 17, verse 28. Luke chapter 17, verse 28. As it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. As it was in the days of Lot. What? Verse 30. Even thus shall it be when the day in the Son of Man is revealed. That's when Jesus actually comes back to set up his throne. You know what people are going to be doing when Jesus Christ comes again? Building, selling, buying, marrying, burying, all the things of life. What it tells you right here. It tells you about Noah just before that, but right here we're talking about Lot today. They drank, they ate, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. I am a fundamental preacher. I believe the Bible to be literally the Word of God. I preach it that way.
Amen.
I believe it that way.
Amen.
I believe you're making a decision today about heaven and hell.
That's right.
I don't believe it's about church membership or not church membership or a little bit of morality or a lot of morality or a little bit of ethics or a little bit of religion. I think you make a decision between heaven and hell. There are no three places to go when you die. There are no five or six or seven places to go when you die. According to this Bible, there are two, heaven or hell. You make a choice, and the choice is life, eternal life, or death, eternal death. I mean, it's a very important thing. A doctor's a very important man. We pay them a lot of money because they're very important. They try to help us keep life, we think at least. They try. But they're a failure in every case. Everybody sooner or later dies. Some doctor failed sooner or later. They can't keep you alive. What I'm doing is more important than what a doctor does.
Amen.
When you're knocking on a door and talking to somebody, when you're preaching in a street, when you're teaching a Sunday school class, when you're witnessing to your neighbor or your friend, what you're doing is more important than the greatest cardiologist in the world.
Amen.
Because you're dealing with people between heaven and hell, life and death. Do you know how people are going to be acting just before the Lord comes? Just like they did in the days of Lot. That morning the son-in-laws got up, said, "Woman, get me a good breakfast." And they cooked the breakfast, and the wives are humming and cooking, and the men are just eating up and having a big time. "Boy, I'm going to go out and do this today." And boom, they didn't get anything done that day. There were people planning on getting married that day. There was a woman out there getting ready to have a child that day. There was a grandmother that was going to have her children over that day. Oh, all the different things that went on, everything that's in your life today, all the things that make you busy, everything you've got, you're so busy, you don't have to read your Bible. You're so busy, you can't come to church. You're so busy, you can't put your time right. So busy, you can't put God first. All of those things were going on in Lot's day and in Sodom and Gomorrah on the day that God sent His judgment.
Amen.
That's where it's going to be. You say, "Well, aren't we going to have a whole lot of preparation?" Not according to the Bible, the way I see it. You're going to one day all of a sudden wake up and it's over.
Right.
Now, Brother Dale has an advantage in some ways, as Bill Mallow had a little advantage in his day. They knew they were dying. So they have time to make some preparation and make some decisions. You know, a lot of people are going to die today. Over 210,000 people will die today. Over 200,000 people are going to die today. Isn't that amazing? Every day. Every day. And you know a whole bunch of them don't have a clue they're going to die. Maybe I'm going to die today. Maybe there's an 18-wheeler out there with my name on it. And I'm going to step out of here and it's going to come right across the parking lot and make me nothing but a little bit of hair and a grease spot. I don't have a clue. You don't either. But I do know what the Bible says about it. When Jesus Christ is revealed, when He comes to be revealed, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Lot. They didn't know the judgment was coming. They didn't know the disaster was going to fall until it hit them.
Right.
Now laugh at it if you want to. Make fun of it if you want to. We got philosophers that make fun of the whole thing. Lot's son-in-laws did too.
Yeah.
Lot's son-in-laws did too. There's another verse I find very, very interesting to me, and it's in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. It's talking about the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." You know, if all I knew was the Old Testament story of Lot, I'd have a hard time calling him just. I'd have a hard time calling him righteous. And I certainly would have thought he had a righteous soul. But that's what the Bible tells me. Some of you are in a mess right today. You need to repent of it and get out of it, because your righteous soul, saved by Jesus Christ, is being vexed with the filthy conversation of those around you.
Amen.
Called him just Lot, a righteous man, and his vexed righteous. Finds it disgusting, it doesn't want to do it, and yet you're just too weak-kneed to stand up and be counted and go with the Lord's people.
Amen.
Some of you say, but nobody can tell it. You know why? You don't love God's word. You don't love God's people. You don't love God's name. You don't love God's house.
Amen.
If you did, you'd be here. Or someplace. If you love God's word, you'd read it. If you love God's people, you'd make friend of God's people. Now what happened to Lot? He walked away from God's blessed man. And he made friends with the world. He made friends because of financial gain. He made friends because they were his community. And he joined himself to them and he lost terribly. Some of you are going to lose. You're going to come to me crying one of these days. Brother Lindell, pray for me. Oh, all these troubles. I don't know why these troubles have come upon me. Don't have a clue why these troubles have come upon me. Well, I'm telling you right now, get out of what you're in and some of those troubles won't come your way.
Amen.
Need a little bit of backbone. You need a little bit of backbone. You need to learn the most important word in the English language. No. N-O. No, I won't do that. No, I won't drink that. No, I won't smoke that. No, I won't participate in that. No, I won't go with you.
Amen.
Another verse. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. This is one of the most revealing chapters in the Bible. Some of you are not really familiar with the chapter. You take this chapter home and study it. You read it about 5 times a day for a week. It might wake you up to see what's important and what's not important. I remember the first time I read it. It shocked me. Look at verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. In them that perish... Why do they perish? Because the Bible's really plain if you just read it.
Mm-hmm.
In them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You know why some of you aren't saved in this room? Because you don't love the truth. You love your lies more than you love the truth. You love your religion more than you love your truth. You love your family more than you love your truth. You love your pleasure more than you love your truth. You love your sin more than you love the truth. He said, all right, this is what's going to happen. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, for this cause God shall send them. Read those words. It didn't say Satan shall send them. It says, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie and be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You're making choices every day of your life, and sometimes you don't think those choices are all that big or all that important, but they are. They are. Most important choice you'll ever make is what you do with Jesus Christ. That's the most important choice you'll ever make. You can choose to have Buddha represent you. A lot of people do. You can choose to have Mary represent you. A lot of people do. But my Bible says there's one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. There is no other mediator. You go any other way to God but Jesus Christ, you'll not get in. You can enjoy your religion in this life and that's all it's good for. It won't do you one bit of good at the judgment seat. It won't do you one bit of good when he talks about keeping you out of hell. Far as I'm concerned, the only thing religion is worth is saving your soul. And if you don't have a soul to be saved, just go to the world, live it to the fullest, do whatever you want to do, have yourself a big time and go to hell. But there's a way out. If you've got any sense, you'll choose Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
If you believe the truth of the Word of God, you have to choose Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You say, well, my friends will laugh at me. I'll lose my girlfriend. She's probably better lost.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'll lose my boyfriend. He won't love me anymore if I become a Christian and I sort of straighten up my lifestyle a little bit. Well, maybe he's worth losing.
Amen.
There aren't but 3 billion others of them out there. You ought to be able to find one.
Amen.
Somewhere out there, there ought to be one. Good night. Don't get hung up on one that's going to take you down with them.
Amen.
That's just not smart.
Amen.
In fact, I'd like to go back to my text one more time. It says, escape for thy life.
Amen.
That's the message I want to give you today. Escape for your life.
Amen.
If you're a born-again child of God, escape from the mess you're in. Escape from the sin you're in. Escape from the friends you're in if they're leading you wrong.
Amen.
escape for your life. Build a life that's got something going to bring happiness with it instead of tragedy and sorrow down the road.
Amen.
And oh, my friend, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you are not saved. You may be religious, but lost. I was religious and lost. I had religion 10 years before I got salvation. Praise God, I finally got salvation. And when Jesus really saved me, He changed me. And if your religion hadn't changed you, it probably hasn't saved you.
Amen.
You need Jesus Christ. This church can't save you. I want you to understand that. I can't save you. That baptism out there can't save you.
Amen.
Quitting smoking, drinking, cussing, and gambling can't save you.
Amen.
Jesus saves.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary. Over 1,900 years ago, and when He died, He took your sins with Him.
Amen.
All you have to do is believe it enough to trust Him.
Amen.
He said, in fact, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not Mary, not Buddha, not Confucius, not my daddy, not my mama, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Escape for thy life. Today's the day to escape.
Amen.
Will you?